Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
And a happy New Year's Eve to everybody. We're glad that you are here for another Sunday Night Live. This will be the last episode for the year of 2023. I've actually got Miss Kim Ansley in the house. How are you, Miss Kim?
I am so good. I'm excited to be able to do the last show of the year with you.
The last show. You know you're probably going to be on the first show or the third show or the fifth or the tenth.
I hope. If you let me come back.
If I let you come back. Yeah. Anyway, so here we are, New Year's Eve, last day of 2023, and, you know, I don't know about you guys, but at our house, you know, we make plans New Year's Day, you know, we have a family meal, we try to get together and, you know, start the year off that way, and, of course, what do you got to eat on New Year's Day?
Mm-hmm.
Some black-eyed peas.
That's ham and black-eyed peas,
and I tell you what, we make our own ham, and there's nothing better than that.
Mm. Sounds good.
Yes. Some black-eyed peas, some greens. Which cabbage is greens? Do you do that? The greens in the cornbread?
We have in the past. I certainly did as a kid growing up. That is something that our family, my mom and dad, we always had the traditional good luck meal, if you will. But we haven't done it a lot with our kids. I mean, you know, I'm not against it at all. I just had never really started it. And mostly because they wouldn't eat black-eyed peas anyhow. I would make them. My husband wouldn't eat them. The only person that would eat the pot of black-eyed peas in the house is me. And so that's an awful lot of work. Now, they would dig the ham. Come on. We have some ham. But black-eyed peas or cabbage, it would be torturous getting them to eat it at my house.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think James and I and both of our families growing up, it was such a, you did it.
Yes, mine too.
Very much so.
Like, my mom would spoon you 3 black-eyed peas if you did not choose to eat them. Because
yes,
you needed that fortune.
Yes.
You needed that, you know, what was going to set you up. I don't know how Miracle black-eyed peas are going to set me up for the whole year, but they apparently, that was
bring you good luck.
Right.
And, you know, even before I even knew better, I would tell my kids, because they don't like them either, mm-hmm, I'm like, just eat one. You just got to eat one. That's all it takes is one.
That's what I always heard, too. And for whatever reason, we just never started it with our kids. Maybe, you know, somebody had leaned into me a little bit, like, that's just crazy. What are you thinking? I don't know. I really don't know why we never started it. I remember when Gage and I were young married, we did that, and I would say, better eat just a spoonful, you know, and he would, even to the point of gagging and throwing up. But
anything for good fortune, good luck.
Good luck and fortune. But, yeah, I think my kids, they would probably know it, like, oh, yeah, I've heard people do that before, but I don't know that they've ever done that one time.
That's funny. You know, really, when you think about it, most of the holidays, when you think about holidays, there is a particular food that is associated with that holiday, where we just got into that tradition because that's just what they did.
Yeah, now we don't even know why we do it. What is the meaning behind it? How it even got started? We just do it just because, you know, grandma did it and great grandma did it. And you just know that when you think of Christmas or New Year's Day, you think of black-eyed peas.
Yeah.
and ham.
That's right. That's right. So, well, you know, I was reading something this last week on Facebook, and I thought it was really interesting because I, you know, again, going back to my parents and my grandparents mainly, is it was very important that you did that. That was a real thing in our house. That was a real deal. And so I read it. I wanted to read it to everybody because I thought it was really interesting. But just talking about how black-eyed peas, you know, how it became, you know, that source of being good luck. There's a legend that researcher John Egerton's has said that black-eyed peas are associated with a mythical power to bring good luck, and have been a southern staple for more than three centuries. As for collard greens, I may have the wrong paper here. It says they're green like money and will assure you a financial prosperous new year. And isn't that what we all want anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah. That's why we do it. We wanted more money. But that wasn't the one I was wanting to read. I should have highlighted it even better. Here we go. This is the one. This is actually what I wanted to share with you because I thought this was interesting. It says the practice of eating black-eyed peas for luck is generally believed to date back to the Civil War.
Okay.
Originally, they were used as food for livestock and later as a food staple for enslaved people in the South. Because of their lowly reputation, the Union Army troops of General Sherman ignored the fields of black-eyed peas while raising and stealing other crops.
Okay.
Promoting this humble and nourishing thing into a symbol of fortune and prosperity in the American South. And so basically what else I was reading about that was because they had neglected the black-eyed peas, that's actually what was left for people to live to survive on.
Okay.
That's all they had.
Yeah.
And that's when it started out with the black-eyed peas. And then they started throwing in the cornbread and the collard greens.
Just they're throwing it up.
Yeah, and so, you know, so many times I think about sayings that we say or traditions that we follow. When you find out, for me, it's really interesting to find out where they actually come from.
Absolutely.
But to think that there actually was a reasoning behind that is they actually went through a time where they were about to starve to death.
Right.
And because the fields were left, that's what they had to eat.
Yeah.
And so now they carry that tradition.
Very interesting that that's how we got it. And I bet nobody would know. I mean, very few people would know that.
Yeah.
We just do it. Being totally honest, I remember probably the last time, I don't know if it was the last time that I focused on eating black-eyed peas for New Year's, but I just had this come back to me. So I lost my dad when I was 17, 2 months from graduating high school. And anyhow, my parents' bank, where they banked, I remember them putting it, this was in 1995 when he passed. And so there you go. Now you know how old I am. but anyhow, they put out cans of black-eyed peas that had their own bank label around it.
Hmm.
And it, like, had whatever the bank name was and basically a little catchy phrase that said, like, good luck in 1995. And because, I mean, I never really knew the history of it. And growing up the way I did, we just thought that was, you know, going to ensure you some fortune and some not only prosperity financially, but just health, well-being, all the things. And so, but anyhow, when my dad passed away, I remember somehow either we just got those cans before he passed or, well, I guess we did in January. And I remember having the conscious thought, what a bunch of bull that was, because, you know, we've always been taught good things are coming to you if you do these. And I remember seeing those cans full of black-eyed peas in 1995. Possibly at that point was the worst year of my life, you know, ever. And I thought, what a crock for black-eyed peas to bring me prosperity. It was the worst year of my life. So I can remember at that point, I probably lost the value of the black-eyed pea prosperity thought.
You know, I could see that.
But anyhow, I don't know what in the world just made me think of that. But I was just thinking, gosh, remember those cans? You know, while you were reading that, and I was thinking about my history with black-eyed peas.
Well, you know, actually, when you brought up that bank and how the bank was using that as a advertising tool, one of the things as I was reading was talking about financial prosperity. So people were putting their trust into that, you know, which I'm assuming because it was so serious, they really did believe that.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, obviously I know that where my hope comes from and where my help comes from, but I think about that and I think they really put their trust in that and they thought that that's where they were going to get their riches and their money.
Yeah.
And it just immediately, and so when you brought up bank, because it, you know, it also, what do we as Christians, God intends for us, what do we believe, you know, that we should do with our finances, and where does our help come from?
Right.
But our help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what we sow into. That's what we harvest, or, you know, that's what we, that's where we put our resources and our things so that we know that that's going to be a good harvest field. And there will be a harvest that's going to come back on that, and we will receive that.
Amen.
And that, that comes from the Lord.
And, you know, that just instantly, when you talked about the harvest in that field, instantly what you were reading about back in the Civil War and that they would leave those fields. I love when you said what you said about harvesting the field and then knowing what you just read for us. I think it is so cool that with that thought process, those soldiers would ignore those fields and leave that junk crop, if you will, or what little bit they thought the value was. And I love, love, love that it might not have been their full intent for the reason they would eat those for prosperity. But you could tie that in with the fact that God will use what little bit we have
that is
left over, that is left behind, that is passed over. God will use it and, you know, do immeasurably more than we can think with that little bit or what was left behind, what wasn't important, what was small.
I love that because as you were saying that, I was thinking that too. It was like, oh, the people disregarded that.
Yes.
The world, you know, that was not worth anything to them in the world. And God can take those things that people see that are not worthy.
Yeah.
And actually make something really great.
And the great thing is we know if we read our Bible or if someone's ever shared with you, that is actually what he does, is he takes the things that seem foolish to the world, things that aren't worthy, things that don't measure up, things that aren't equipped, that aren't able and ready, if you will, and that's what he uses for his glory. That's how he does it. It's never the, I mean, I guess it could be, but oftentimes what I've seen, it's not the most beautiful, amazing, perfect field or person or job or whatever the situation we're looking at. It's usually the one that is disregarded, that's passed over, that's nobody's seen it.
And also, too, when I think about God and the way that he uses the things, like you said, that the world disregards, anything, what I have seen most is when God is working in something, it always looks different. Because, you know, with God, you feel like God's leading you to do this or God's leading you to do that. But the whole world says, you're crazy. Why are you doing that? That makes no sense. Why are you doing that? And I can just think over and over whenever I really felt like the Lord was wanting me to purchase the house on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I really thought that that was for Two Turtle Doves. And maybe that's what he used for my motivation.
Right.
But I don't know. I had countless people tell me, what are you going to do with that? What income are you going to get out of that? I mean, just over and over, just like, that sounds crazy. Wow, why are you doing, you know? And I thought, I know, it sounds crazy. I just felt, but I feel like I'm supposed to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I did. Well, obviously now I know why. It was intended for a family.
Yeah.
And so I even asked the Lord, I said, why didn't you tell me? And he says, because you would ruin it.
Oh, I know.
I felt like God, you know, that's what I felt like that's what he was telling me, is if I had known, I would have tried to force that into being.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be something that he had to work on his, you know, in his timing. But anyway, I just think about that. What is God telling you to do? What is God, you know, so many times you got to watch who you're telling, because your friends may give you the wrong advice.
Oh, yeah.
Because they think it sounds crazy.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, like when you purchased that house on Main Street, I mean, you know, I walked a lot of that with you.
Yes.
And I'd be lying if I didn't go home and think, what in the world is my friend doing? Like, and just exactly what you said, like, how is this going to happen? What does this look like? But the fact was, I very much tried to not give my personal advice. Like, listen, we're just standing on faith and trust in God. I believe you heard from him wholeheartedly. I believe you heard from him. And so I'm like, it doesn't make sense to any of us.
Mm-hmm.
But careful not to give my personal opinion or personal advice, because that's really useless. And just trying to stand with you and be like, listen, if you heard it, if God said so, let's do it. I don't know how it's going to go, but let's do it.
And, you know, I just think I'm using the house as an example, but I have other instances where I feel like God has led me into things that people are like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? And that's how God works.
Yeah, absolutely.
He takes what the world sees as crazy, weird, off the rail, whatever you want to say,
mm-hmm.
and he will turn it into a great testimony. He'll turn it into a great thing that can be used for his glory.
Yeah.
And God really moved fast on that house.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if there was about a year or a year and a half, I would be, you know, crying out to God, why, mm-hmm. what, how, and all, and the frustration that I experienced.
Right.
But I just stuck to it, and now I know, and what a blessing.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, who could have ever thought this?
I know.
And now a family in it, and a blessing to you, to our church, to all of our lives, and it just, it's phenomenal what he does.
I'm telling you.
Crazy how he works it out, but it is never what we think.
Never.
I mean, it never really pans out. It's always better. Always, always better. Even in the midst when I think, this is not better. This does not look better for me, for you, for the situation, but it's always better.
And, you know, I think as we pray about things and we want God to answer our prayers, we think we have this idea of how he's going to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing I've learned is God never answers that prayer the way that you could ever dream up. It's never in a way that you could ever even imagine.
Right.
It's always good.
Yeah.
But it's not something that we can come up on our own. Because if we come up on our own, then it's not us, it's God.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what would be the purpose of even, if we can come up with it on our own, what's the purpose?
Right.
Of having a relationship with Christ. So he has the plan. He has it all worked out, what's going to be for our good in a way we can't imagine it.
Right. Yeah. Well, going back to Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
So I have been telling our listeners throughout the year, you know, we've had a family garden. You know, was really looking forward to this family garden. We were all going to, I got quotation marks, going to work together in this garden. Well,
I think I've read this story before. Is it called The Little Red Hen?
Maybe.
I know that story.
One of the things that did really well in our garden was black eyed peas.
Really?
And had we really have just pampered them and, you know, just really did stuff that we could have had black eyed peas running out of our ears. I mean, the Lord blessed us with black eyed peas. And so I had this is my first year that I learned how to pressure can.
Oh yeah.
And we had those black eyed peas. Well, that was the one thing that my granny always did, so I wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, you know, I look up on the internet and so I do these pressured black eyed peas. Well, you got to taste them as soon as, you know, the next day, see if they're any good. Do you know that those are the best black eyed peas I have? I mean,
really?
I'm like,
straight from your garden?
I'm like, let's just do black eyed peas from now on.
Mm.
Let's just do black eyed peas and put them up, because I thought they tasted better than any.
Yeah, and see, I do love black eyed peas. A little hot sauce on them.
I mean, to me, that's almost like a pinto bean, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, really, you can make a meal out of them.
Yum. And you had fun pressure cooking them?
I did. Now, I was afraid at first.
It's going to blow up.
Yeah, you know, you always hear horror stories about those pressure cookers, and you think, you know,
I'm about
to blow this house.
A hole in the ceiling.
So I did that. Our very first instance, it says, you know, you're supposed to stay between this certain pressure amount.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kept climbing, and it kept climbing, and I thought,
Now what?
And so I kind of freaked out a little bit, and I didn't know what to do. And, James, come take this off the heat, you know. Well, come to find out, there's a handy dandy little thing that you can release pressure on the top of the
lid. Okay,
a little lid. Yeah, it flaps. I did not know that. So it took me a couple times to learn that process. And then, you know, then I realized, you know, hey, I'm not going to blow the house up. But anyway, that was a fun process. But I don't know. I just think about traditions. I think, you know, again, going back to the new year, especially if we look back at 2023, and there's been some good things. There's been some bad things,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to move forward. But I think about those traditions. And I think about New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
This is when I'm going to change my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because have you not noticed there's starting to be gym membership ads?
Oh, yeah. Because it is time.
It's time.
I mean, this is the time that people are going to make, I mean, gyms, places are going to make a killing because we all have set those things where we're going to do it. And then you go all in. Mm-hmm. And usually we buy the year-long membership, so we're committed.
Oh, I'm doing it. That's probably why they want you to buy the year.
Yeah, and you get a little discount, and then you go, what?
1 month?
1 month, maybe. Maybe.
And they have made their money on you.
Right.
Yeah. But I think about that, and, you know, I used to, every year, I really wanted to work on something, and I'd come up with at least two or three things. And, of course, you know, I'd work on them really hard.
Mm-hmm.
For the first month, and then, you know, not as hard the second, and then as it faded out. But with that being said, you know, I think about the scripture, and I feel like this is kind of what God's been showing me over the last couple of weeks, in Proverbs 29:18, where it talks about the people need focus
mm-hmm.
in order to move forward.
Yeah.
In order to move, in order to do what needs to be done. I do.
Let me read you. Now, this is the NIV version, but I have another version I want to read, too. But the NIV version is probably what, or ESV, either one, what we're most familiar with, where it says, where there is no, no, wait, that's not the one I want. This is the one I want. Just a second. That we've probably heard, where there is no prophetic vision, that people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. So, we're supposed to have vision and know what our goal is, you know, because without that, without prophetic vision, we'd lose the people, you know. But this version in the NLT I love, and it says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful.
I love that
one.
Divine guidance.
Now, did you, when you read this, did you read the TPT? What version did you look
at? It was the Message, and actually, a couple of days ago, I posted that verse on Facebook out of the Message translation, and it, to me, was, it really stood out to me.
I got it. Let's read. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And this is Proverbs 29:18 that we're looking at.
Yeah, and I just think about that. And so, you know, it's knowing the vision. We all oftentimes have what we want to work on or what we think needs to be done. But I love how it talks about what God,
yes.
God's vision, the prophetic vision.
Yes.
What is God doing? Where is God at working? And that's kind of what I feel like he's really been revealing to me is that it's time to have a vision. I believe that he wants, right now, I'm just believing that he wants James and I to have a vision of where he wants to take us this year,
mm-hmm.
And to go to him and ask him what that vision is.
I love that.
And so that's, you know, that's, I know here we are, New Year's Eve, and but it's never too late. We can get a vision. I know.
Yeah.
Definitely. But once you have that vision, then that sets your course.
Mm-hmm.
So then, as you go along, everything you're going to be doing is led to what you feel like God's, that vision that God has given you.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, New Year's Eve, here we are. I know it's a big day. It is. It's the end of a year or a season and the start of a new tomorrow. But the reality is, it's just another day. I mean, just to encourage listeners, if you had no vision and you're hearing this today and you're like, oh, shoot, I got no prophetic vision.
Yeah.
I haven't been seeking what the Lord wants me to do. It's not too late. Many, many churches, I don't know, some of the churches that I listen to and follow, they start with a prayer and a fast of 21 days, which I absolutely love. My husband and myself, we've done that before, and I think it's a perfect time to start that. And it does, you know, maybe God's not calling you to 21 days. Maybe he's calling you to 2 days. I don't know. Whatever God says to you, but to be intentional about listening what God wants, we don't have to start that on New Year's Eve. It's a great time, but we can start it in the morning when we wake up. We're going to spend ever how many minutes praying and asking God, where are you directing me? Let me hear what you have lined up for me. And I think that if we can do that and be intentional, it hits so much home with me when you were saying what God wants for us. Because I cannot tell you how many times, certain situations, how many years, mm-hmm. I will make a plan. And I am good at making a plan.
Girl, I'm a plan maker.
I set it into
motion. Check
the
list.
That's right. Let's move forward and head out. And what usually ends up happening is I am good and golden and faithful on that plan for about that month membership at the gym. And then, you know, if it's not, and even if I didn't have fallen away from the plan, but look, I mean, in many instances, you know, I do because it's probably not what was actually for me at the time. But even if I didn't, what is the plan worth if it's not backed by God and blessed by God and that's the direction he wants us to move in? I mean, it's really
That's
all
right.
for naught, you know?
That's right.
But I've done it a million times.
I think we all have.
And Lord, help me. I hope not, but I'm probably going to do it again. But then hopefully, if you're walking close enough with the Lord, he can like woo you back and say, hey, I'm not really even in this. This is not anything I like started the fire under. This was all you. You got a backup lady. And that's just how God talks to me, because it's how I receive, like, backup lady. Get the heck out of
here. What are you thinking?
Deal.
Yeah, that's what I get sometimes. What are you thinking?
That doesn't have me in it or on it. It doesn't mean it's not good. And sometimes it can be successful, but, I mean, not in the true success and prosperity that God would want for me.
Right.
So,
you know, and going back to the vision, it gives the people purpose.
Right.
You know, what are we waking up for today? What can I do today? And sometimes, you know, we're talking about a vision for the year, and that's not bad. I think that's good. But sometimes we might need to start in the morning and say, okay, Lord, where are my steps for today?
Right.
Because whatever steps that he's leading you on today is going to help you for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's something I have seen in my life. And there's times I've listened and there's times that I have not listened. But the times that I have listened, it definitely has been a stepping stone to the very next thing that God has for me.
Yeah. And that doesn't seem overwhelming. Because to be honest, I mean, I don't know how many prayer fasting days I would need for God to be able to download a vision of my entire year in a, you know. But it's not overwhelming if we just say, hey, what does God have for me today? Let me just say yes and be obedient for today. So then, you know, that's going to set me up for the next day. Obviously, if I do the thing with God today, then tomorrow I'm going to be in the right place because I did the thing with him today. The things.
And, okay, so let's say one day we didn't do the thing. We mm-hmm. missed it.
Mm-hmm.
But that don't mean, like you said earlier, it doesn't mean that we can't start over the next day.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, in Lamentations 3:23-24, right in there, it says that his mercies are new every morning.
Praise God.
We can start over every morning. I know the year is a symbolism and it's a thing of going into a new season, mm-hmm. you know, new things, and that's good.
Yeah.
But it goes back to what you said earlier. It's day by day.
Yeah.
So, okay, maybe you haven't. maybe you haven't been following that vision, or you, maybe you've never had a vision. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, I just work and go home, you know, and you get to the humdrum life and you get up, you go to work, you come home, you go to bed, you get up and you just get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that that is something that is so important, that if we can start with the daily vision.
Yeah.
What is your vision for me today, Lord? Who is it that you want me to bless today, Lord? Mm-hmm. Or who do you want me to be in contact with today that's going to help me for what you have for me for tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and maybe, I mean, I know Aaron, our pastor, released it on Sunday, so I'm not like spoiling anything. But, and I have no idea what the sermon set is going to be moving forward our next series. But I'm so excited because just what you're saying, the title is Start Small. That's where our sermon series is headed.
I remember that. I've seen that advertised.
Yeah, he said that.
This is the Wednesday night, or is that going to be a Sunday morning?
I think it's a Sunday morning series. But I have no idea. But when it said start small, I thought, okay. But when you're saying that, instead of, let's just cast a vision, like ask God, what is the vision for today? It's such a great place to start small with, because, I mean, I don't think it's bad to ask God what he has for me this year, but then go ahead and ask also for today, because that's where we can start small and it's not overwhelming. And that's true. Like, oh, that's good. Let me just focus on today, what he has for me, who he has set up in my life, who I can bless, who I can love, how I can carry the gospel out today. And then,
you know, and, you know, anytime, I don't know that I have ever had, if I've prayed for the year, I've never really felt like the Lord has given me a vision for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually been a one thing to focus on. It's usually like, okay, for instance, this year, my feel like is the vision.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God's saying, vision, follow the vision. You have to have that vision. You have to have that thing. And so that's really my, as a whole, as a year, is I really want to take this year, which every year, obviously, but, you know, Lord's telling me to really ask him what it is that he wants for me.
Yeah.
You know, and do that. Do that what he has asked me to do. And so that maybe sometimes that's how God speaks to us.
Yeah. And I think we all try to set ourselves up like, okay, this is going to be the best year yet. I'm going to get all the things right. I'm going to get my life in order. I'm going to get my place in order, all these things. You know, just what you said, I think our very best year can happen this year if it's our best year spiritually. That can be our best year yet. We just have to, just if your best year spiritually, then it's going to be your best year yet.
You know, and when he said that, it made me think about what Paul said. We all know that scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But what does it say before that?
Mm-hmm.
It actually says, I have learned to be content in any and every situation, whether I'm well-fed or whether I'm hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so when we are spiritually flourishing, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what situation. It doesn't matter what's going on around you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be walking in the fullness of joy.
Yeah. And, you know, I was reading through Hebrews, and as soon as you said that about being content, I posted a verse a couple of days ago, or saved it for myself, really. I'm not even sure it went out. But anyhow, it goes along with that. Hebrews 13:5 could encourage us all, like Paul does, to be finding contentment and everything. And this one, I mean, it talks about, and it could even tie in with the prosperity, which I wasn't really looking for that. I was looking for the contentment. But Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so just being content in what we have, and not get overly focused on whether it's the love of money in this verse is what it's talking about, but also just overly focused on how our bodies are going to look, go to the gym. How, I mean, yes, it's our temple. We need to take care of it. We need to be wise and make wise decisions, but it's going to be a whole lot easier for me today to go, okay, what is God showing me today? Where does he, what does he want me to eat today?
Says the woman who brings me fudge.
Well, I made a complete giant pan, and I need it out of my house.
Look, I had determined today was the
today's
day.
Today's the day.
No more sugar.
No fudge for me.
And then you're like,
Here's a bag of fudge.
Man, I'll take some fudge.
Bless the people around you with fudge. Take it to the office. But Dee Dee's on her walk pad, so you better not.
Yeah, she's not going to eat it. No, I already know that.
But yeah, it would be easier rather than me seeing a full year of working out and going to the gym, which Lord knows we all need to do, I'm sure, just to take care of ourselves. But just the, let me be content for today. And Lord, what do you want me to eat? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to love? And that's a lot easier for me to just focus one meal at a time, one person at a time.
One thought at a time.
One thought at a time rather than download the year to me, Lord.
Yeah.
I think his download to me is, if this is your best year spiritually, this is going to be your best year yet.
That's right.
I can receive that.
That's it. That's it.
Okay, let me focus on that.
Yeah. That's so good. And, you know, with this being New Year's Eve, Cornerstone did not have church this morning, but it's going to have church tonight at 10:30. And I'm so excited for this opportunity because I believe Aaron, our pastor, is going to bring us a word. And I can't wait to hear what it. Now, I don't know what it is. He's not really said he is, but I just feel like
He's going to
be bringing us an encouraging word for the next year. And I am so looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
Yeah.
But not only that, we're going to have some fellowship and some fun with our, you know.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to go to the youth building at 8:30, and we're going to start there and have a good time for about an hour and a half. And then the youth, we're going to come down here and join at 10:30. And so we'll be here to party with you guys.
Good.
It's going to be a good time and ring in the new year. And so I'm excited, for myself to hear a word for the year, but also for our young people. I mean, what better way to start your year than hanging out with people here at church who love Jesus?
To have the same vision, want to have the same vision, you know.
Yeah, we're
like-minded.
Trying to find what Jesus has for us. And how we can love and serve him.
And even if he doesn't bring a word, I'm okay. Because what is he? He's calling it a praise night. If we praise the Lord until the next year comes, what great opportunity to do that. You know, that we can bring that sacrifice before the Lord.
Yeah. And you know, I'm really excited about, we're going to take communion that night. And I love that. Thinking that through, I mean, I hadn't really been thinking about this. So today and until now, this morning and lunchtime, I began to put up my Christmas, put up the Christmas tree and put up all of the, you know, pack the Rubbermaids. And I was thinking about that as I started putting all that away. And I thought to myself, man, this is so much like most of the time my life, friends that I talk to, their lives. You know, I start tearing all that down, and some of it's broken, and some of it's not really that great. Or I open up a Rubbermaid, and I saw a few things that I didn't put out that I didn't really like because they weren't that great a shape, or they were broken. But anyhow, every year when I get it out, I think, man, when I start putting this up, I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to get rid of the trash. I'm going to get rid of the broken. I'm going to get rid of and just start afresh. And then most of the time, every year when I start putting it up, I think, I don't want to do the work that it's going to take to go through that and get rid of the trash and get rid of the broken. I'm just going to shove all that back in the box, and then I'll just wait until next year when I get it out. And I think so many times that is how I've done my life as well. I just think I'm not ready to deal with all that yet. I'm just going to leave those broken pieces or whatever in there. And some of it, there may be some sentimental value. And I think, oh, man, I don't want to throw that away, even though it's wrecked. I mean, it's not good. Emotional attachment. And I was cleaning out those boxes, and I thought, I was packing up those boxes and looking at what I should have cleaned out. And I thought, gosh, this is so much like my life sometimes. And I think sometimes we can find ourselves there. Going into the new year, like, this is a time when we need to clean out the old, the broken, the stuff that we're holding against ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just the unforgiveness, maybe for us, maybe for others. Time that we can clean out and start afresh there. Not so much start afresh in, I'm going to eat healthy, which is great, or I'm going to work out, but start afresh inside of us. Like I said, with the spiritually, if it's our best year, well, that's going to take work. We're going to have to clean out some junk. And so all that being said, when we're taking communion, I love that we're going to get a time to examine ourselves during that communion and say, God, what's the junk I need to get rid of in here?
Mm-hmm.
What have I been holding against, or what have I been holding against someone else or myself, or where have I been missing the mark? Because I'm missing it. I am missing it somewhere. And I love this communion time at the start of a new year to just be able to examine and let God search my heart and then start anew.
Yes.
With Him.
You know, you said that it's going to take work. And when you said that, you know what it made me think of was, how many times do we look, okay, there might even be people listening on here and say, hey, I've never really had God tell, I've never heard God say anything to me. And they may want that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you see someone that really, you can tell they're really flowing in the Spirit,
right,
and the Lord's with them and helping them, and they want that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you want that, then you have to do the work for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you're going to say, wake up one morning and it's going to be there because you ask God for it.
Right.
Now, He will show up and He will be there, but it's the more you do it, the more it's the work that's going to bring you to that realization, to that sensitivity, to be able to hear God speak to you.
Yeah.
If you feel like that's not where you're at.
Yeah. You know, back years ago, I was obviously, I mean, I felt like I was a good person. Don't get me wrong. I don't feel like I was, you know, doing horrible things, but I wasn't walking in a day-to-day relationship with the Lord. And anyhow, I would look around and see people that were really rocking with the Lord and think, man, you know, how in the heck do I get my hands on that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. I'm not going to say their life is easier, but it sure looks like they're walking through life with a lot more ease than what I was walking through. At any rate, I mean, there's a ton of ways to do it. The way it worked for me is I just felt like I wanted that. I saw that. And so I had never even read the Bible. I owned a Bible. This old man at the first barbershop I ever worked in gave me my first Bible because I had made mention to him that I didn't own a Bible. And so he would come and take smoke breaks at the barbershop. And so he's outside. I'm not endorsing smoking, you know, but that's what.
I mean, a lot of things happen on breaks, but anyway.
A lot of things happen on breaks. But anyhow, he left for his morning break time there, and then he came back later, and he had a Bible for me. Well, I thanked him for that. I did not know the investment he was making in my life or the investment that he had spent on a study Bible, because study Bible...
Or the importance of it, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, I just kind of tossed it aside, and it gathered dust. Any rate, when I saw people that were walking with the Lord and I wanted that, I thought, well, I don't know where else to start. But the preacher that I had at the time is like, just start reading in John. And so I started, this was the second, I actually started on page 1, and I wouldn't recommend that for anybody, because I was quite confused, like, didn't I already read this, like, over and over. But at any rate, I would say and encourage, pick up the Bible and start reading in John.
And that's it.
That's it. And you don't have to read a lot, but the Bible's the only book that when you read it, it reads you. And God cannot not speak to you through His Word. He cannot not speak to you. I mean, there's also a ton of other ways. Get in a body of believers and a community of people that, because God is searching you down all the time. And He wants you to be able to walk with Him like what you're seeing. He wants that for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're going to have to put forth some effort. You know, if you're dating somebody and you never talk to them, that ain't much happening.
They're not going to last that much longer.
Yeah, I mean, you have to put some effort forth and go seek that person if you're trying to date them. And this is the same with the Lord. This is a relationship, and you've got to put forth effort and go seek. But He wants to talk to you, and He is waiting. He wants to do that walk with you. So,
and once you get to that point where you know, you're starting to really experience God. You're hearing from Him, and His Word is just jumping off out of the pages. And, you know, it won't happen the first day. You have to be consistent. But when you get to that place, there you miss it when it's not there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, say you get busy for a couple of days, and you're like, oh, man, my spirit is hungry mm-hmm. for the Word. I've got to get back in the Word. Because it's almost like hunger pains when you're physically hungry,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Hangry. And people talk about, man,
exactly.
hangry. Well, your spirit can get hangry, too.
Yes, it surely can.
And so, it all goes back to His mercies are new every morning. Just start today.
Yeah.
It don't matter what day of the year it is. Start today. And just open up the Word and say, Lord, show me what you want me to know today.
Yeah.
Whether it be a couple of verses or a chapter, whatever it may be. But not be so list-oriented. And I'm a list girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the mornings a lot of times, I make a list. And if things aren't checked off the list, and things may not, you know, the day may not be considered a successful day. Yes, and so that's one thing, you know, is like, go to the list, you know.
Yeah.
Do what God says to do.
Yeah, exactly. And it usually does not go with my list.
And then I have to talk to myself.
I know.
And I have to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this detour and realize that and instead of getting upset, which in times past I would get upset, well, it's like getting behind a slow driver. You're in a hurry. You want to get somewhere where you're going.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath. And, Lord, I'm just going to take this opportunity. You know, you could be protecting me from something.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to change my perspective of where I'm at right now. Okay, yeah, maybe I was supposed to go do the grocery shopping, but God's leading me to go do something else at this time.
Yeah.
Change your perspective instead of having that thought of is, man, I really need to do, you know, you understand what I'm trying to
yeah,
say is
absolutely.
Take that focus, that perspective into God's just leading you. He's just leading you where you need to go. He's
yeah.
He's wanting you to be in contact with who He wants you to be in contact
yeah.
with. And the time for the groceries will come.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as soon as we can change that perspective, then, I mean, your list, the frustration of not meeting your list can subside to some degree because we get in our own mind of what success looks like, whether it's your day or whether it's your life, your job, your, you know, job at the church, whatever it is. But we get focused on what it looks like to be successful. And it could have just been just one person, one 5-minute conversation.
That's
and
right.
then you can put the check mark by your day, and the purpose was served today.
That is so good.
But it is hard for us people that are getter-doners because we had 77 things on our list, and God's like, well, those are all cute and good, you know, and they're worthy, and they're good things to do. But it's really the one purpose for today could have been the old guy in the bread line, you know,
mm-hmm.
where you're getting bread and you're waiting behind him. That could have been the purpose today.
That's
and if
right.
we zoom past it, I mean,
we're not in the now.
Yeah.
We've got to be in the now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I can just be all about, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And
I often think, too, this is kind of off subject, but I often think, man, when we get to heaven, maybe we'll get to see, kind of look back at all the things. And won't it be funny and ironic when we look and see the things that were purposeful and the things that weren't?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
they're in our lives and they're good, but I think it's going to look so much different because it's just who God is.
Yes.
And it's how He does things. I'm pretty certain, like, the greatest thing I've ever done, I don't even know what I would consider that, but, like, this major great milestone, it probably isn't even going to measure up on the list of what the purpose was during that time, that day, that season, whatever. I think it's going to be things that we just went about our day thinking, that frustrated me. I got behind the person in the grocery store line, you know, and had to wait because they had 11 items and not 10 in their
yeah.
checkout bag. You know, I mean, whatever. I think it's not going to be the things that we think.
I agree with that. the normal mundane things that we do, we think that don't mean anything,
yeah,
are probably going to be some of the things that mean probably the most.
The greatest things.
And we will never know.
Right.
Until the other side.
Right.
Who we've affected.
Yeah, how fun.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I mean,
that's like Christmas. We're waiting to open the gifts.
You know what? I want God to say, Natalie, I'm so proud of you. You did so good.
Yeah.
Thank you. I know you messed up a little bit, but that's all right.
Right.
You did your best. I want to hear that, and I want to see those people that say, you know, when you did this, and I'm like, I don't remember you. I don't know who you're talking about. Well, you never really knew me.
Right.
You know, and I just, that is one thing that I am looking forward to, because I know the importance of doing just what God tells you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know who it's affecting.
Yeah. And I know exactly your thoughts, you know, about, because we've talked about it before, you just don't know the reach that has.
Yes.
And I had written a little note this morning to reach out to the generations beyond us. And it's so wild because it is. It's one of those things that we are thinking of us today. But the person that you had the purpose for today, or like I said, the person in the checkout line or whatever, how wild it will be that one thing that you said or did or however, whatever God led you to do for that person could change the course of his day or her day, their life, subsequently their children's lives and all the things, and generations beyond.
Oh, yeah.
Because in heaven, you're going to stand and you're not going to just see the one little guy or person in the land ahead of you. It's going to be so far because you're going to have affected those people even generations beyond.
That's right.
And that's what
we won't know.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And that's, you know, that's what's so wild and so exciting and so fun to me serving God. It's really obviously it's not about us. It's about Jesus, but it's about generations from now. Or maybe not. Maybe the rapture comes tomorrow, you know? We don't know. But nevertheless.
But until then.
Yeah.
The generation.
We're about our Father's
be.
Work.
Yes.
And we are doing it, you know, to know that it's for generations, for my great-great-grandkids.
Well, and it makes me think of the scripture. I won't talk about the negative part of it, but it says those, you know, those that are blessed will be blessed, their generations will be blessed for 1,000 generations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of generations.
That's a lot of generations. But with you saying that, and that was part of, I don't know that it was that scripture, but it was part of where when I wrote, take back the victory and reach out to the generations beyond you, I was listening to something and it said, forgive yourself and break the curses and take back the victory. At any point when we've had enough of I should have done better, or I could have done better, I'm gonna, you know, get past this, and enough, be done with that, you are stopping right there. You're breaking the curse of whatever is holding you back from doing whatever God has you to move forward in victory. Just move forward from here in victory and be about what God has for you and the generations ahead of you. But we have to get to enough is enough and just break that curse.
Yeah, and as you were saying that, going back to just do what God says, nothing more and nothing less.
Mm-hmm.
And even though in our mind we may not think it's enough or too much or whatever, we have to release that, and know that, you know, we just did what God told us to do, and we're going to be content with that.
Yeah.
And knowing that he's going to use it.
I don't know how much time you have left, but that makes me think of the story about when Peter and the guys are fishing and they're casting their nets out. And, you know, God, and so maybe this is encouragement for somebody who's already been like, I already did that. I already tried that. I've already tried to be enough is enough. And this is where I'm in, you know, breaking the curse. But, when they're throwing out their nets and they've fished all night, this is what they do. This is their job. They're good at it. and they caught nothing. And then they come to shore, and Jesus tells them to throw it back out. And you know, at this point, this could be something for somebody. It's for me. At some point, you're like, oh my gosh, how many times am I going to throw this net out? Like, nothing's happening. I've been doing this for the last 8 hours or the last 10 hours or the last 10 years. Nothing is happening. And Jesus said, just throw out your net again. And what does Peter say? The fishermen are like, if you say so. And that's the thing. If God, if you say so, all right.
You know, Kim, as you're saying that, I really do believe that's a word for somebody that's listening. I believe that these people have been doing it and been doing it and been doing it, and they're not seeing what should come out of that.
Yeah.
But that God is saying, keep doing it.
Stay the course.
With it. Yeah. And you will throw that net out, and it will come back so full that you'll have to have people come help you with it.
Oh, gosh. Amen.
And
amen.
So stay the course. And so let's just pray real quick.
Yeah.
Father, I just thank you for who you are and your love for us. And Lord, I just pray as we come to the end of 2023 that you would help us to not carry any of the negative things that happened this year. But as we go into the new year, that you would help us to have a vision. You would help us to stay the course. And Father, that you would just lead us day by day, minute by minute. Lord, we just want to say that we follow you, we love you, and we just set out in purpose for that. And Lord, for those people that have been doing it and that have been throwing the net, and they've thrown the net and they still haven't been getting the harvest. And Father, I just pray that you would give them the wisdom, the courage, the boldness to continue on to do what it is that you have asked them to do, that they would reach the harvest that you have intended for them, Lord. And Father, we just pray as we go into 2024 that you would help us to remain focused on you and what you would have for us, Lord, and that we could set ourselves aside. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's it. That's okay. One thing I think so many times is we, and I say we, as in me, I'm talking about myself, is we can make it so complicated.
Mm.
It's not complicated. It's just wake up and just do what God says to do.
Do what God says to
do. And that's it.
Yeah. And it is so simple. It is so simple. Just do whatever God says to do today.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't make sense, do it anyhow.
Yeah. And gosh, I don't know how many times it's not made sense to me, but I've done it anyhow. And yeah. I've got some people to make fun of me.
And
so.
You know, I think that's the difference. You know, earlier we were talking about people that it looks like when they're walking through life, it's not that their life is any easier because the same things, the same life things are happening to them. But it looks like they're going through it with ease. And I think that the real only difference is that they've just said yes to God and they do whatever God says to do. Because we're all in the same, we're all doing the same thing. The difference is if you just do what God says and do it, then there you are.
I love that. I love it. Just say yes.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's another thing that we can carry on into 2024 is to just say yes today.
Yeah.
It just has to be day by day. I mean, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless our year. It's going to be a great year. But just help us day by day as we go. And we say, just set out to say yes.
Amen. There you go.
That just kind of sparked something in me, you know. And that's it. And how do you become successful? You don't quit.
Yep. Say yes. Don't quit.
That's it. Say yes, don't quit.
That's good.
And I can't think of another rhyme to go with 2024. So we'll just say that.
Say yes.
We'll say that like that. And so as we are coming to the end of the show, I guess we can say we'll see you next year, everybody.
Absolutely, you can.
Yeah, we'll see you next year.
And
we just pray that you guys enjoy yourself tonight as you bring in the new year. And we just say good night, everybody.
Good night.
The preceding program has been recorded live and is presented by Tape Delay.